This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Judiciary will now come to order. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Barth. Borglum.
Present.
Diedrich.
Present.
Hammack. Latterell.
I'm here.
Fischke.
I'm here.
Rasmussen.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
St. John. Schwach.
Here.
Poirier. Johns.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have a quorum, and the Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last House Judiciary meeting.
So moved
by Representative Pischke, second by Representative Diedrich. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are so approved. Okay, three bills up on the agenda today. We will take them in the order that they appear. We have one page here and one page gone, so we'll hold off on page introductions until later. If you have any handouts for the committee, please distribute them through the pages. Please remember that all questions and comments will flow through the chair. Please silence your electronic devices, and if you wish to testify, please sign in at the podium in the back. With that, we will move right into our agenda with Senate Bill 45. Senate Bill 45, an act to revise the provisions regarding the filing of a statement of additional items on appeal in certain contested cases. The Judiciary Committee will now hear proponent testimony on Senate Bill 45. Good morning, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 45 is an act to revise the provisions regarding the filing of a statement of additional issues on appeal in certain contested cases. South Dakota Administrative Procedures Act, found in Title I, Chapter 26 of the South Dakota Codified Laws, allows persons who are aggrieved by the actions of an administrative agency to contest those actions in a hearing before a hearing officer in what is referred to as a contested case. The law also allows any person who is not an original party to the contested case and who has a pecuniary interest that would be directly and immediately affected by the agency's order may become a party by intervention if they make a timely application to intervene. If a party is unhappy with the results of that hearing, they are entitled to judicial review of the final decision in any contested hearing by way of an appeal to circuit court. In such an appeal, the party appealing is referred to as the appellant, and the prevailing party is referred to as the appellee. The South Dakota Supreme Court recently handed down a decision in the case of Lagler versus Menards, which is found at 915 Northwest 2nd 707. It's a 2018 case, which highlighted a problem with our statutes governing the appellate process when you have more than one aggrieved party. There are two statutory changes proposed to our statutes. The first would change the word party and parties to now reference the words appellant and appellees as used in SDCL 1-26-31.4. The Second Amendment will apply to those cases where both aggrieved parties appeal and additional issues are raised in the second issue or the second appeal raised by the appellant. Once an appeal has been filed under our statutes, Our statutes allow the appellee to also appeal by what is referred to as a notice of review. And if the second appeal contains additional issues, then in that event, the appellee under this legislation will have 20 days to file a second notice of review where they set forth what the issues are. So that's the heart of the bill. Basically allows for an additional 20 days for the appellee if the appellee wishes to appeal the issues raised by that second appeal. It's complicated, but it's not. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 45. Is there any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, the committee will hear opponent testimony on Senate Bill 45. Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony, we will now open the hearing for questions from the committee. Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, you mentioned someone with a pecuniary interest. Could you define that for me in layman's terms?
Question,
You mentioned pecuniary interest. Could you define that for me in layman's terms?
Mr. Chair, a pecuniary interest means that I have a monetary interest, that I have a financial stake in it.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions from the committee, Representative Latterell, did you have a question? Seeing no further questions from the committee, we will now open up the hearing for committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 45. Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is an amendment. It's 70WA. May I speak to the amendment?
Yes, and do you move it at this time?
Yes, I would move that.
Oh, Representative Johns, that's the next bill.
Pardon? 70WA.
Oh, 70WA. Yeah, wrong one. All right, getting ahead of myself. I have nothing.
Discussion or action? Discussion or action on Senate Bill 45. Representative Pischke.
Mr. Chair, I would ask the prime sponsor of the amendment what the amendment does.
Mr. Chair, it does absolutely nothing.
Further discussion or action on Senate Bill 45. Representative Latterell.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 45.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Representative Latterell to send Senate Bill 45 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That motion was seconded by Representative Dietrich. Comments on your motion, Representative Latterell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do think it's good to update our statutes to make sure we're handling the situation when we have multiple parties involved. And even though I did skip law school, I was grateful for the sponsor of this bill to educate me on a new word today.
Further discussion on the due pass motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schwach.
For Judge Johns on line one, do you think it would be better to say last instead of latest statement?
Line one on page two. Representative Johns?
I wouldn't have any opinion one way or the other. I think either is sufficient.
Further discussion on the due pass motion. Seeing none, the motion before the committee is to send Senate Bill 45 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, will please call the roll.
Representatives Barthel?
Aye.
Borglum?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Hammack?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Pischke?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Reimer?
Aye.
St. John? Schwach?
Aye.
Poirier? Johns?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 yeas, 0 nays, and 2 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. That motion carries. Senate Bill 45 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pischke.
I move consent.
Motion made by Representative Pischke to place Senate Bill 45 on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 45 will be placed on the consent calendar. We will move in our agenda to Senate Bill 70. Senate Bill 70, an act to revise certain provisions regarding hospital liens. The Judiciary Committee will now hear proponent testimony on Senate Bill 70.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Timothy Johns from District 31, Senate Bill 70 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding hospital liens. SDCL 44-12-1 allows hospitals to file a lien with your county register of deeds for treatment that it has provided in connection with injuries not otherwise covered by Workmen's Compensation Act. If those injuries were caused to the patient by another person, then the patient asserts or maintains a claim against the wrongdoer. In those circumstances, a hospital has a lien upon any recovery collected or that may be collected by the injured party or by the injured party's heirs or personal representatives in the case of the injured party's death. The lien is in the amount of the reasonable and necessary charges of the hospital as provided for the treatment, care, and maintenance of the injured party in the hospital up to the date of payment of the damages. Senate Bill 70 adds an additional section to the statutory framework governing hospital liens found in Chapter 44-12. It would provide that if the hospital receives notification, either before or after filing the lien, that there is insurance payable on behalf of the injured person, or that there's a third-party payer of health care benefits for the injured person, the hospital shall submit its claim to that insurance carrier or other payor for payment of any reasonable and necessary charges for the treatment, care, and maintenance of the injured person. The amendment then goes on to provide on page 2, lines 1 through 3, that the hospital must submit the charges to the insurance company or payor in the same amounts and upon the same terms and conditions under which it submits charges for patients who do not have a claim against another person for damages caused by an injury. In other words, all billings must be treated equally, irrespective if the patient has a claim against a third person for those charges. Finally, the new section provides that if the time for submitting such charges has expired, either by law or contract through no fault of the hospital, or should the payor refuse to pay the charges, usually the insurance company, for whatever reason they might have under the terms of the policy, then in that event, the hospital may file its lien or it may enforce one that's already been filed. That's the bill. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 70. Mr. Siegel, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Steve Siegel. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. We stand in support of this bill this morning. This is a good thing for the people of South Dakota, and I'd like to say that Senator Schoenbeck and I worked with the hospitals to come up with the original amendment, and I will remind the judge that there is an amendment on this bill, too. Wanted to remind him to move it on this bill rather than the last bill, but this is a good thing for the people of South Dakota. We worked with the hospitals on the language of the bill, and they were very cooperative. And I'd also like to say we're fortunate to have such good hospitals in South Dakota. We have good hospitals in the state, and you know, we have those two big regional hospitals in Sioux Falls, and we're very fortunate to have those hospitals. So it's a good thing for the people of South Dakota. There are no opposition votes over on the other side in the Senate, so I just ask that you please vote green on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 70. Is there any further proponent testimony? Seeing no further proponent testimony, the committee will now hear opponent testimony on Senate Bill 70. Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony, we'll open up the hearing for questions from the committee. Are there any questions? Representative Latterell.
Thank you. Just for Mr. Siegel, my question was if you could give a real-world example of a case where this applied and how we need to change the law because it was being unfair. That would be helpful to me. Thank you.
Mr. Siegel.
Mr. Chair, Steve Siegel, South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. So, and I'll start out, Representative, by saying I think it was more just confusion with the big hospitals and Sioux Falls, and I don't think it was anything malicious, but what was happening is somebody would get in an accident at no fault of their own and go to the hospital. And in some cases, they weren't able to use their health insurance coverage, or if they had other, you know, private coverage, they weren't able to use it. And they had to either look to the tortfeasor's carrier, and when I say tortfeasor, is the person that caused the accident, or they would wait until their case was over at the end to pay the bills. So what was happening is you were seeing some people in limited cases that would go in and just weren't able to use the insurance coverage that they were paying premiums for. So this bill will hopefully end that problem. Sure.
Further questions from the committee? Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions from the committee, we will open up the hearing to committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 70. Discussion or action. Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have an amendment at 70WA.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
Is there a second? Motion made by Representative Johns to amend Senate Bill 70 with Amendment 70WA. That motion was seconded by Representative Dietrich. Comments on your motion, Representative Johns?
It just clarifies that Section 2 is no longer part of the bill, as it wants to delete the provisions of Section 1 and 2 and just insert Section 1 on page 2, line 8. So just a technical correction.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none, the motion before the committee is to amend Senate Bill 70 with Amendment 70WA. This is a voice vote. All in favor of that amendment will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The bill is so amended. We are now on Senate Bill 70 as amended. Committee discussion or action. Discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pischke.
I've moved due pass on Senate Bill 70 as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Representative Pischke to send Senate Bill 70 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That motion has been seconded by Representative Schwach. Comments on your motion, Representative Pischke?
Just briefly, I think it's a great bill. I think the proponents did a great job presenting us the information, and I think it's a great thing for the people of South Dakota. I'd recommend to send it to the floor. Thanks.
Further discussion on the due pass motion? Seeing none, the motion before the committee is to send Senate Bill 70 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Borglum.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Pischke.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
St. John. Schwach.
Aye.
Puryear. Johns.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 yeas, 0 nays, 2 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. That motion carries. Senate Bill 70, as amended, will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move to
motion made by Representative Reimer to place Senate Bill 70 on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 70 will be placed on the consent calendar. We'll move in our agenda to our final bill of the day, that is Senate Bill 143. Senate Bill 143, an act to revise the visitation rights of a person causing conception by rape or incest. The House Judiciary Committee will now take proponent testimony on Senate Bill 143. Good morning, Representative Pischke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Representative Tom Pischke, representing District 25 in Del Rapids. Bring before you today Senate Bill 143. What this basically does is strengthens our rape statutes in the event that there's a child conceived from the result or from the result of being raped. So the good senator from District 19 asked me to prime this. He had an example in his district where something happened and applicable to this, and wanted to have the statute strengthened up, and so that's why we have the presumption here that it's not in the best interest for that child to be placed in the care of the person that did the crime. So not going to be labor the issue anymore. It's a pretty simple bill, so I'll stand by for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Pischke. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 143. Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Diana Miller, representing the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. And we, too, want to go on record supporting Senate Bill 143. Anytime we can do a piece of legislation to strengthen our laws on rape or incest and at the same time protect the rights and the best interests of the child, we want to support, because I'm all about the best interests of the child. And I think it's important that we do this, and that you can see Representative Pischke and I can be on the same side of a bill. Well, is he rolling his eyes? I don't approve of that. I never did in a classroom, and I certainly don't approve of that in the South Dakota legislature. There is no eye rolling allowed.
How about that, sir?
I think he's out of order. They're speaking from there. He's had his chance up here. But, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that you pass Senate Bill 143. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 143. Is there any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, the committee will hear opponent testimony on Senate Bill 143. Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll open up the hearing for questions from the committee. Are there any questions? Any questions from the committee? Seeing no questions from the committee, we will move to committee discussion or action on Senate Bill 143.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question, I guess, for any committee members, because I wanted to hear a compare and contrast with the standard of evidence that we're putting here in this bill, clear and convincing evidence, and versus somebody who's suffering a conviction or has a conviction for committing this crime, which would be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So I just wanted to hear somebody who has experience with this area kind of enlighten me on what kind of a standard we're talking about, situations where there's clear and convincing evidence. And also, just for the record, there is a rebuttable presumption that there's no eye rolling unless it's been proven, and I haven't seen evidence of that yet.
Representative Johns.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You could have a case where the case went to trial and, you know, they were found not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, but you would still find that by clear and convincing evidence that they did commit the offenses. I struggle with this just a little bit because the Supreme Court's been clear that there's only limited circumstances where you can deprive a parent of their right to their children. So you're going to have some conflicting presumptions here in a way because we're saying that's a rebuttable presumption. Yeah, well, rebuttable presumptions are easily disproved and all you have to have is substantial credible evidence. That's a rule that we have under our rule of evidence for, and it's a civil presumption, so it's just substantial credible evidence. Does it really change the law? I don't think so. I don't know that this hurts anything, but, you know, currently the law clearly states it. You know, it's left up entirely to the judge to determine if it's in the best interest of the child for that parent to ever have visitation, because that's all you're going to usually have. Now, if a mother would happen to pass away, you could have a issue where the father is trying, assuming that it's the father, it could have been a woman as well that perpetrated one of these crimes, but then you have that other parent asking for custody, and then you're going to have some real issues too. So it's one of those that they're taught, you know, I don't know that it's going to change the law a whole lot, but yeah.
Further discussion or action on Senate Bill 143? Discussion or action? Discussion or action on Senate Bill 143? Representative Barthel.
I move to pass.
Is there a second? Motion made by Representative Barthel to send Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That motion has been seconded by Representative Latterell. Discussion on your motion, Representative Barthel.
Nothing other than the day that Representative Pishke and Diana Miller are on the same page is noteworthy, so it's worthy of support.
Comments on that? Comment, Representative Pishke?
I can't let it go. I just can't. I do believe last Friday we were on the same page on a bill regarding juvenile justice reform. So it does happen. What can you think? So that's twice now this session.
Further discussion on the due pass motion. Ms. Miller, do you have anything to add? Okay, good. Further discussion on the due pass motion. Seeing none. The motion before the committee is to send Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Borglum.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Pishke.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
St. John.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Poirier.
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 13 yeas.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. That motion carries. Senate Bill 143 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Motion made by Representative Ladderell to place Senate Bill 143 on consent. That motion was seconded by Representative Hammack. Does anybody object? Seeing no objections, Senate Bill 143 will be placed in the consent calendar. That concludes our agenda for the day. Thank you, committee. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Borglum, seconded by Representative Pishke. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.